this morning, if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. And I want to speak for just a few moments this morning about times of offense. All of us are offended from time to time. We may be hurt, something a person said, something a person did. We may be mistreated. We may just perceive that we've been mistreated when we actually weren't. But all of us from time to time can be offended. If you've never been offended and you live amongst the human race, just give it a couple more days, your first offense is coming. And we're easily offended because we're imperfect people. And sometimes we deal with each other in an imperfect way, and it can be hurtful. How many's ever just been offended? Just be honest. Here's something about offense that we have to understand. When you're offended, no one else on the planet cares. It's just you. Sometimes you can be offended, and the person who offended you may not even be aware of it. They don't even know. And you're the only one carrying that hurt. You're the only one carrying that. And sometimes we'll, in our struggle to be good Christians, we'll say, well, you know what? I'll forgive them, but I won't forget. And when we say that, what we're saying is that I'll forgive them, but I'm going to keep some revenge in my heart in case there's ever an opportunity that I can extract a penalty from them. But as Christians, there's another level of forgiveness that we have to aspire to. There's a level of forgiveness that we just quench it within our own self, irregardless if the other person ever apologizes or if they're even aware. We have to deal with our offense within ourselves as good Christians. And one way that we can do this, we can always remember that God was offended with all of us. Our sins offended him. Yet he sent his son, who while he hung in pain upon the cross, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so that's our great example that each of us must aspire to. And listen, you will not be able to do it without the help of God the Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural life that cannot be lived by natural power. You're going to need the help of God to live this out, to walk it out. Otherwise, you'll be forgiving but not forgetting. It says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So if you and I get angry because of an offense, that's not necessarily sin if we deal with it correctly. So he says, you can be angry and sin not. How do I do that? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't go to bed that night angry about the offense that you perceived happened to you. Because if you do, the next verse says, neither give place to the devil. If you take it to bed with you, the devil will help you be angry about it when you get up in the morning. Now this happens in all areas of our social lives, be it a co-worker, maybe a brother or sister in Christ, an employer, an employee, a husband, a wife. We have to learn how to let the offense go. Listen, when somebody offends you, they cannot take the offense out of your heart. They can come back and say, I'm sorry, my bad. But they can't take that offense out of your heart. You have to let it go. You have to dismiss it. And that's what forgiveness really is. Forgiveness is simply canceling the debt. It's just dismissing it, taking the offense and quenching it within your own spirit. God, this is not correct emotion. This is not a correct feeling that I have within me. I dismiss it. And here's the easiest way. Realize the person who offended you is just as broken as you are. Amen. We can't hold somebody else to a standard of perfection. You cannot hold your husband or your wife to a standard of perfection because you're not perfect. And if I offend someone else, Or if someone offends me, I have to forgive them because at some point in time, I'm going to offend someone else. And I want them to forgive me. So he said, don't let the sun go down on that anger that you're feeling because you perceive that you have been offended. Don't let the sun go down because you're giving place to the devil. How many of you ever just had the devil talk to you when you get angry? I can remember back in the day when me and my wife first got together, and it was very difficult because God thrust our marriage back together. And I can remember getting angry, and I would just go for a ride in my truck and continue the argument without her. And I would always win. And the devil would sit in the truck and just magnify that and make it worse. And it's just snowballing. And then when you get done snowballing this thing, you say to yourself, I'm going back into the house. I'm not going to say nothing. But there's a snowball now. And you walk in with this great snowball of offense. And even though you may not, if you're this good, may not say anything, you're slamming stuff down. What? Because what you want to do is you want to extract a penalty. You want them to feel the hurt that you're feeling. That means you have not forgiven it. You have not quenched it within yourself. And it's going to hurt nobody but you. The other person can just go on their merry way. They may not even know that you're offended. And if they do know, there's nothing they can do to make you unoffended. It's all on you. And if you could just learn to begin to quench it within yourself, realize they did not purposely do that. Even if they did, you can just act as though they didn't do it purposely. I'm going to just dismiss it. I'm just going to move on because I didn't offend my God purposely. I did it in ignorance, and he just simply dismissed it. When I say dismissed it, I mean dismissed it. He never even brings it up. And so that's what I aspire to. I must forgive as my Heavenly Father forgave. That's the instruction that we have in the scripture. Now, there's a story of King David. David is a man after God's own heart. And I use David as an example because if David can fall into this trap, any child of God can fall into it. The great king, the sweet psalmist of Israel, if he can fall into this misstep, all of us can fall into it. The story is quite long, so I'll just kind of paraphrase it as I go. David's son, Absalom, had conspired to take the kingdom away from David. And upon taking the kingdom, his next step was to put David to death. That means that he has the kingdom locked down. And David had to leave Jerusalem. He had to run for his very life. And so he's heartbroken. His own son was causing him this great embarrassment. And he took his little entourage, and they're riding out of Jerusalem. And a man by the name of Shimei begin to revile him all the way. He'd walk alongside on the other side of the canyon. He'd walk on the other side, and he reviled David all the way because David no longer was the king. He no longer had power. He threw dust at him. He threw rocks at him. He made fun of him. And David, his heart was already broken because his son had mistreated him. But on top of that, this offense added to the injury that was already there. And little did Shimei know that David would come back into power in a short period of time. And David did. He came back into power and he brought Shimei before him. And now get this, when he was leaving and Shimei was throwing rocks and making fun of him, one of his servants said, just tell me, David, I will go over there and cut that dog's neck off. I'll kill him on the spot. And David said, no, don't. And so when he came back into power and Shimei came before him, he said, Shimei, I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to forgive you, which he did. But then there's an interesting scripture in 1 Kings chapter 2. This is David on his deathbed. He's on his deathbed. This is the last thing that David says on this planet before he leaves. He's talking to his son Solomon, who will be the new king upon David's departure to the grave. And verse 9, now therefore, he's talking about Shimei. Verse 9, he says, now therefore, hold him not guiltless. He's saying, Solomon, don't treat him as though he's an innocent man. Now, he forgave him, but we can tell he didn't forget. Hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man and knowest what thou oughtest to do, but bring his gray hairs, bring his hoar head, which means gray hairs, bring them down to the grave with blood. That means David is telling Solomon, don't let him die a natural death, kill him. Now, he forgave him, but these are the last words he spoke on the planet. And then he stepped before a holy God who had forgiven David of everything. See, when we forgive it, we have to make sure you can't extract it from your brain, but you have to dismiss it to such an extent that it no longer bothers you. This is why we have so many divorces. One of the many reasons is we just add it up. We just add it up, one offense on top of another offense. Oh, it's quiet. You know, the female brain is a wonderful thing. And I'm not picking on sisters. But you guys remember everything. What a skill set. I wish I had that. You guys can remember the smallest detail, every single thing. Men aren't wired that way. And that's a wonderful skill set. But make sure that you're not adding one offense on top of another offense on top of another. And brothers, you the same thing. You can't add them up. If you added the second one on top of the first one, it means you never forgave the first one. And again, when you're saying I forgive, but I won't forget, you're saying I reserve revenge for that. I'm going to get some get back. I don't know when, but the opportunity will arise that I'm going to punish you for that. That's when we don't let it go. And saints, that is exactly how not to be like Jesus. Here's something I've noticed about Jesus. I have sinned 10,000 times since I've been saved. Just like you have. He never brings it up not one time. Have you noticed that? He never says, remember back then, you dirty dog, what you did. Do you remember that? He never does that. And so we have to learn to have the same heart as Jesus Christ. This is a requirement of the scripture. In fact, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now here's something about unforgiveness. It brings about bitterness. If you let the sun go down on your wrath, you go to bed angry. You wake up bitter. And that thing is eating away at you. And Paul is saying in the epistle to the Ephesians, put away, let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, evil speaking, put it away from you with all malice. That is revenge. Put it away. And conjunction, and be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. And here it is. Forgiving one another just as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven, isn't it? It's the best thing that ever happened in my life. When the enmity between me and God was put away by the blood of Jesus Christ and God forgave me all my sins, my whole life woke up. Well, why would I not release my brother in the same way? Why would I not release my wife in the same way? Let me talk to spouses for just a moment. You love one another, you wouldn't have got married. You made a commitment to one another. And so now the thing is that in those times that two people don't agree on something or something gets said or something gets done, realize that person loves you. They weren't trying to hurt you. and realize the offense, I've got offended by it, but I'm going to dismiss it. This is what will make your marriage strong. There have been times, Sister Lincoln and I, this hardly ever happens anymore. We're matured now. But we would not be happy with one another. She said left, I said right. And you can feel that tension. You can feel the tension. We're in disagreement, sister. You can feel the tension. And when I feel that, I realize my role as the husband is I walk up to my wife and I look her right in the eye and I pull her into me and I hug her neck and I tell her God would not be pleased with us for acting like this. And we're going to quench this right now. I love you and I know you love me. And let's just put this to bed right here, right now. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You go to sleep with the person that loves you, wake up with a smooth devil. I mean, horns and everything. So you got to dismiss it. You got to let it go because that's the biblical standard of Christianity. And God will extract a penalty from us if we receive his forgiveness, but we won't forgive somebody else. Jesus told a parable about this. He says in Matthew chapter 18. Oh, hold it. Before you go to, yeah, that's good. Matthew chapter 18. One time Peter came to Jesus, and of course Jesus exuded forgiveness. And Peter was trying to show Jesus how graceful he was. And he says in verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How many times? How far does this forgiveness thing go? I'm in Matthew 18, 21. How far do we go with this? And Peter was being very graceful. He said, I'm going to show you some maturity. It's 7 times. What about that? Well, I forgive him 7 times. It is Matthew 18, 21, isn't it? Okay, I see people looking around, so I wasn't sure if my notes were wrong. Till 7 times, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Now that took Peter's little measure of grace and just blew it out of the water, didn't it? And for those of us that are mathematicians, say, oh, well, it's 490 times. You missed the point of the reply, but let me help you with that. 490 times for the same sin, committed 490 times on the same day. There you go. That's your measure. But Jesus is saying, no, don't think there's limits to this because there were no limits to our forgiveness. He dismissed it all like it never happened. And I know we're just flesh and blood, we're human beings, but this is the bullseye. This is the aspiration point. This is where we want to get to in our walk, especially within our marriages, within our relationships, our close relationships. Let it go, otherwise you will have nothing but hell in your house all the time. And you'll begin to talk to each other with that voice of bitterness that you've held. And it's not enough to just say, yes, I've forgiven you for that thing. If you're going to do like David and says, don't let it end well for them, make sure you extract a penalty. We just dismiss it. I'm not offended with anybody now. And I'm a pastor. I get offended all the time. People do things that I get offended all the time. But I realize, well, I can't walk around with this in my heart. I've got to let this go. I've got to dismiss this and let this go because this body was not made to hold negative emotions. Your body was made to hold peace and joy and righteousness, goodness and mercy, patience and compassion. That's what we're constructed for. We're not constructed for anger and malice and wrath and bitterness and backbiting and envy and jealousies. Those are things that shave years off of our lives. I wonder if David could have lived another chapter. Had he not carried this malice towards Shimei, he carried it right to his very grave, saints. It lets us know that you and I have to be the ones. Shimei couldn't do anything to help him. Joab didn't care. Solomon couldn't do anything to help him. It was only David who had to deal with this thing. And so here's how you do it. You realize you can feel that anger on the inside. And sometimes it's not a blazing anger. It's just you don't feel good about the way it went down. You just don't feel right about it. And you have to realize, I am not going to walk around with this in my heart. You don't have to talk to that person, because your offense is not between you and that person. Your offense is between you and your God. That person don't even know you're tripping. And so you have to take it to God and say, God, this in my heart is not right. And I ask you to help me, teach me how to dismiss this right now. I want to let it go. I don't want it to impact me. And I don't want to carry the revenge forward in my life. I want to leave it right here on the altar. So after this story with Peter asking concerning forgiving a brother seven times, Jesus gives a parable. Verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. This king is representative of the Father, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I was just wondering what that really is, 10,000 talents. And so I looked it up. If you're talking talents of silver, it would be equivalent to $336 million. Silver. If you're talking talents of gold, it's $20.6 billion. The point is that the debt was so large, it was beyond possibility of ever being paid. Kind of like the sin debt that you and I owed God. There was no means that I had to pay the debt that I owed God, just for my sins, let alone yours. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that they had in payment to be made. And the servant fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. 100 pence is $1.35. Get that. We owed God this big, huge debt for all of our illicit sexual activities, all our dope smoking, liquor drinking, all our lying, stealing, everything we did. And this person just looked at us the wrong way. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And that's really represents you and I when someone offends us and we won't release it. It's like taking them by the throat and saying, I'm extracting a payment from you. You hurt me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. $1.35. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Are you understanding what this parable is saying? And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Get this now. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So this is a parable of warning, saying that God takes this forgiveness thing, he takes it serious. So that when someone has hurt us, and saints, you can have been legitimately hurt. We get legitimately hurt all the time. I don't even know if I want to share this. You can get past anything. You don't have to be a victim of it. As a young child, I was molested. As a young child, I was hurt in ways that I should not have been hurt. I hold no animosity whatsoever. I realize that person was broken. And they transferred that brokenness to me, but I'm not walking in it. I'm not taking it with me. I left it right there. I am whole and healthy and undisturbed. I said, I'm whole and healthy and undisturbed. But the choice has to be yours. You have to make the choice. See, if you're looking for a reason to be a victim, the human race is going to provide you a reason. Please believe me. But if you say, no, I rise above that. I will not carry that the rest of my life and then go hurt somebody else. I will not do that. I am not an agent for Satan. You dismiss it within yourself. I didn't have to talk to the person. They might be dead by now for all I know. I hope they found the Lord. I hope that they've done well in life. I have no animosity towards them. But that thing is back there. I do not let that come forward with me. And what your hurt may not be that extreme, but if there's hurt in your life, and especially from your spouse, don't add one to the other, to the other, to the other. It will crush you. It will crush you. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6:14. God takes this forgiveness thing very seriously. He set an example before you and I that is so supreme and so extreme that no one can be confused about it. As he hung there with a crown of thorns on his head and his back laid wide open from the lictor's lash, as his wrists and his ankles are suspended there between heaven and earth, in that position, he said, forgive them. Forgive them. They know not what they do. That's our example. God wouldn't ask us to do that we're not able to do. Amen. Would you bow your heads all over the room? Father, we just thank you. We thank you so much for your forgiveness, your supreme example to each and every one of your children, that we can dismiss the offense. We can lay aside the hurt. We don't have to hurt another because we've been hurt, but we can terminate the hurt by quenching it within our own spirit. When we come to you, Father, this morning, Lord, no doubt people all over the auditorium, all over the online experience that have experienced hurt, maybe stinging hurt that hurts yet to this day. Come on, if you're able this day, I'm going to ask you if you would stand to your feet with me. Let's just go to the Lord. Let's just go to the Lord. I'm going to ask husbands and wives, hold hands. If you're here, husbands and wives all over the room, just hold hands. Boyfriends and girlfriends, if you're dating. And let's just ask the Lord, Father, help us to lay aside, God, every anger, every offense, every bitterness, every point of malice. Lord, any revenge that we're harboring in our hearts. Oh God, we look to you that you would help us. Teach us, oh God, how to walk outside of the hurt of the offense. How to maintain our joy and our peace. How to maintain, oh God, our Christ-likeness in the time of hurt. Come on, just reach out to the Lord all over the room. If you've been hurt, now's your opportunity. Just ask God, Lord, help me to let it go. Lord, if they've done it 10,000 times, Lord, help me to let it go. Help me to grow beyond this so that it no longer is an offense to me. Lord, I'm coming to you today because I need your help. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. Just reach out.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that you said that you will forgive us if we forgive. And we take you at your word, Lord God. You have forgiven us, and we choose to forgive. We release it. We let it go. We no longer hold offense ever again. We don't hold it in our memory. We don't reserve revenge for later. And God, help us to live that out every day, to release and forgive, put it behind us, because you forgave us. You had mercy on us when we didn't deserve it, God. Hallelujah. We thank you for the healing that is taking place right here, right now. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good word. Don't ever forget that one. You must forgive, or you will not be forgiven, the Bible says. A few things before you go. If you haven't given, don't forget to do so. We appreciate all those that give. Also, we have a food pantry. If you're in need for food for the holiday season, we have a whole church of people that have put together a food pantry for you to bless you. So you can go to our website, christunveiled.org/benevolence. That is, if you're in the local area, DFW area, and we'll schedule a time and you can come out and pick up a large basket of food. We want to bless you with that. Also, this past week, we sent out an email to everybody that gave in 2023. You should have gotten an email, and there's a link there that you click, and you can tell us what your email is that you want to receive your tax statement for, okay? So just, it's real quick, only takes a few seconds. Click that link, tell us the email you want to receive your 2023 year-end tax statement, and that'll help us get that to you in a timely manner. And if you gave and you didn't get a text or an email from us and you want to get that tax statement, you can come see me or you can call in. All right. And with that, we want to let you know God bless you. We love you. And you are dismissed.